The brave souls on a Friday morning at 8:30. Lovely. A very good morning to you. Welcome along to my final session at TechEd. This is Office 365, Identity Solutions, Notes from the Field. For those of you who I've not met before, my name is Andy Malone. I'm an MVP in enterprise security. For 8 years now, just like Paula and Marcus and Hussein. I'm also an MCT, Microsoft Certified Trainer, for 19 years, God forbid. I live in Stirling in Scotland, and obviously my main focus is for security. And people might say, well, Andy, what are you doing talking about Office 365? That's a very good question. I've actually been involved with Microsoft now for about 3 years on Office 365 projects. I like to walk around, sorry. During these projects, I'm responsible for consulting, so I actually deploy this in the real world. I also kind of formulate kind of identity solutions. I do architecture for the product as well, I also teach it, obviously. I train it, so I train worldwide. Although my main kind of area of focus is EMEA, so Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and also the Nordics as well. So I really do appreciate you coming along early in the morning, and there's folks going to be still joining us, so please do come in and make yourselves comfortable. As I mentioned in all of my sessions, all the content that I'm sharing, I like to share. I have love for all of you, especially coming out at 8:30 in the morning. If you sign up to my Twitter account at Andy Malone, you will basically get access to my SkyDrive, and it's all my sessions, all my videos. It's kind of, you'll have to forgive the sessions. They're not the nice polished versions that Microsoft give you. They're my kind of rough and ready versions, but they include all my notes and basically everything. And you can use them, do whatever you want with them. Okay. So that being said, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk basically about Active Directory. And how it compares to Azure Active Directory, or as John Craddock calls it, WAD versus WAD, if you saw his session yesterday. We're going to talk about planning. So I think one of the most important aspects of Windows or planning to make that move to Office 365 is the planning stage of it. So again, it's possibly not the most exciting, but hopefully you'll get a little bit out of it. We're going to talk about Azure Active Directory, what is it, and what it is not. There's an awful lot of misconceptions as to what Windows Azure Active Directory actually is. So we're going to kind of clear up some of those misconceptions. We're going to talk about deployment of ADFS and also understanding synchronization, how synchronization works. We'll talk about some of the new features of DirSync. And I'm going to kind of bring into kind of my best practices. Now, this is a little bit shorter than my usual slide deck. I normally have like tons of slides. So this is a little bit shorter. So what we're going to do is we'll maybe open it up for questions. So if, at the end, we'll ask some questions. If you've got any kind of issues that that need resolving, I'll try and help you. First thing then, planning cloud identity solutions. So, a couple of years ago here at TechEd, well, not here at TechEd, but at TechEd, I sat on stage at a cloud security panel talking about the benefits of the cloud and the dangers of the cloud. And we were all a little bit skeptical about putting our stuff in the cloud and do we trust it. I mean, I don't personally see there's anything to worry about. I mean, you have a free backup and monitoring service provided by the National Security Agency, so there's nothing to worry about. Sorry, I can't say that, can I? I'm at a Microsoft conference. Essentially when we talk about identity obviously for IT pros like me and you, I'm not a geek, I'm not a developer dude. Identity, it's all about me getting my users into the cloud. It's about what's the easiest way to provision my users in the cloud and also get them to log in securely. Now, to be honest, Office 365 is evolving every day. And that's the key thing when we talk about planning. It's not like you're a regular kind of application. So with applications, you deploy them, you know what's on those machines. You control the updates to those machines. When you start moving to a service, you're really talking about you lose that kind of that control because a service is constantly updated, it's constantly evolving. So you log on today with Office 365 and then tomorrow there's a whole bunch of new features. So basically when you start thinking about an identity solution, you really think about these what we call the four pillars of identity. So when we talk about administration, how are we going to administer our users? You've got to think about what's the simplest tools, what are the simplest methods, what are the application access type rules, what are the authentication mechanisms that you're going to use. And as well as administration, how are you going to authenticate your users? So, you know, Microsoft, you come to these conferences and all their documentation talks about these hundreds of thousands of users. So, you know, apparently we're all data center vendors and we've got all these hundreds of thousands of users. When in reality, I'll bet you there's a vast majority of people here that are small to medium-sized businesses. Maybe you're a consultant, you know, and it's very, very easy when that customer comes to you, as they do, they come to me, and they say, okay, Andy, we want to move to the cloud. What's the best way to go? And again, you know, you don't just say, okay, we're going to do a cutover migration for you. You know, I want Active Directory in the cloud, you know. And people say, oh, so does that mean I can actually put my Active Directory into the cloud? Again, Active Directory and Azure Active Directory are very different babies. And again, understanding that is really, really important. Good morning. Excuse me. So that's the single sign-on. So anybody who comes to Office 365, typically the two things that they're really keen on is one, I need to know Active Directory Federation Services. This is an absolute must skill, by the way. The other thing is I really want to understand provisioning. So DirSync is the kind of the main tool for that. And when you provision users, you've then got to think about, okay, do I want any kind of coexistence with Office 365? So when we talk about coexistence, it comes in two flavors. You can just have simple coexistence. So as I said just today, you can have a global address list. So, you know, if you've got customers on-prem and you've got customers in the cloud, they just see this continuous global address list. But you also might want a rich coexistence, and we call this hybrid mode. So this is where typically a customer is invested in an infrastructure with Active Directory. They've maybe got Exchange. They've maybe got SharePoint, Link, and so on. And they basically want to coexist with Office 365, and that, of course, is more interesting. So when we talk about authentication into the cloud, you need to think about trusted mechanisms. How are we going to trust each other? Because obviously, you know, I had a customer the other day, and he said to me, you know, I want to move to the cloud, but I don't want to put my Active Directory into the cloud. And I'm saying, you're not putting your Active Directory into the cloud. You can. You need to install it on a virtual machine in Windows Azure, but you're not actually putting Active Directory into the cloud. Think of it more like a fishing, you know, a hook. So you just basically throw this hook and it grabs on. So essentially what you're doing is you're connecting through a number of attributes. So I call it a fish on a hook type of idea. We are also talking about authorization. And with authorization, of course, we're talking about authorization to resources, whether these be SharePoint resources, whether they be Microsoft Exchange resources. And ultimately, one of the most important aspects, and this is something that the initial releases of Office 365 didn't have, well, it did, but it was not great, was the auditing aspect. You know, you're going to be ISO compliant, and you're going to say, hey, you know, Andy, I need to audit this company. I need to audit Microsoft. Well, of course, you can't audit Microsoft. You know, they just, you know, it would be impossible to do that. But what they do is they provide the mechanisms, the tools, so that you can actually do some auditing yourself, and we'll take a look at some of those tools. So when we talk about access challenges, there are a number of challenges. How do we provide secure access for our users? And again, there may be other dynamics in there as well. What if you've got your users that they want to use BYOD? What about high availability? You know, is my data backed up? And more importantly, where is it backed up? I don't want to be constrained by U.S. government law, and you know, I'm a bit nervous of where I put my data. You know, that's obviously really important. That's something that Microsoft have addressed, actually. And also administration. You don't want to just have a god type of administrator. You basically want to have a whole different set of administrators that have different what we call roles. So RBAC is nothing new. RBAC has been around quite a while, but it's nice to see it in Office 365. And then, of course, you may want to provide customer or partner access to your data. So if you're a consultant, you obviously want to manage all of your users in one single location. So these are some of the challenges that we're talking about. So planning a move to the cloud, irrespective of the size of the organization, they have to try before they buy. Okay? And the size of the organization is really, really important. Now that's not to say, typically you would say Active Directory Federation Services plus DuraSync, okay, right, that's for a big, huge, large company. It might not be. It might be a small company, but because of compliance reasons, they need to move here. Also, you're going to have time constraints. There's going to be things like the complexity of the customer's environment. So they may have a SharePoint solution. They may have an Exchange solution. So obviously, I was going to say one of the things I provided you in my SkyDrive is I've actually designed a full 5-day course on Office 365, and I'm actually giving you all the notes from that course. Okay, so you're getting the full kind of set of stuff, everything from planning to design to deployment. So this is kind of just a little taster, if you will. You've also got to think about physical locations, and that's the beautiful thing about Windows Azure, for example. So Windows Azure Active Directory, yes, you can set up a sister domain controller in Windows Azure. You install a virtual machine, deploy Active Directory, and potentially you could have a sister domain controller as a kind of branch office. You might even deploy it as a read-only domain controller in there. So again, all of these things need to be kind of thought out as well. So once you've kind of looked at the actual site, the numbers and so on, then we need to start looking at the software, hardware requirements. So for this particular wave, for example, Windows XP is not supported. So you can't have customers that have got Windows XP. And I actually went to a public, it was a local council that I went to the other day, and they were still running Windows 2000 and Windows XP clients. And that, it was frightening. Network bandwidth issues. As I mentioned just today, it's all very well moving to the cloud, but especially when you're doing a migration to the cloud, this is really important because, you say, how long is it going to take? I've got 20 users. Great, no problem. That's a cut-over migration. Just get them up to the cloud. But what you find is that those 20 users have got huge mailboxes. And those huge mailboxes, when they start moving across to the cloud, they get constrained when they're being sent up there. So again, you've not taken into account that network constraints. Also, there's legal and compliance issues. You know, you might put some customers' data to the cloud and it's not permitted. Yeah? I mean, have you thought about that? So you're going to stick something up there and they're illegal or financial or pharmaceutical business, and it's actually illegal for them to have data into the cloud. And people are not sure, can I put data in there, can I not? Again, before you move that data, you need to make sure what are the legal standpoints here, because potentially you could be responsible for that. So as a consultant, as well, make sure that you're well insured, I would say, as well. SLA, so as I mentioned in one of my sessions this week, the difference between private and public services. So, you know, if you're a small business, you're going to get a guy going, why do I need to go to Office 365? I've got SkyDrive here. I've got Microsoft applications here. I don't need no SkyDrive. I can get this for free. Remember, though, you don't get any kind of guarantees with that. So if your data goes down, it's not Microsoft's fault. Now, to be fair, it's never gone down, and data has never been lost. But you still have that thing to think about, whereas a service level agreement is basically financially backed by Microsoft. Okay, so basically size matters. So the one-man band, the Joe Soap, Bob the Builder, you know, he can just use a K plan. You know, he might want just pop email. He doesn't need all the whistles and bells. The small business, however, maybe 5 to 25 users, a little bit more complex. Maybe they've got a server on site. Maybe they've got a small business server. Do they want to keep it? Maybe, maybe not. Medium size business, enterprise type businesses. This is really kind of what we're focusing on here. So typically, current identity solution. So the small one-man band, he won't have anything typically. No servers on-prem. Maybe just uses pop email, really nice and simple to bring across to Office 365. By the way, did you know that you get an Office 365 subscription now as part of your TechNet? So you get a kind of home user 1 year type subscription for free. Don't know if you knew that. It's just been announced. Okay, so the small business, typically up to 25 employees. Maybe they've got that small business on-prem. Maybe they already use Active Directory. And again, do they want to keep it or not? So again, you need to think about the small-scale kind of usage here. Whereas the medium-sized business, which is what I focus on most of the time, is we're really talking about hundreds or maybe thousands of users. They typically have a more complex infrastructure, Active Directory, Exchange, and so on. They've maybe got complex identity management infrastructures as well, third-party stuff. They maybe want or use multi-factor authentication, or maybe they have in-house IT support as well. So what are the current identity solutions for Office 365? So if you go in today, office365.com, create an account. You can create as many accounts as you want, by the way. I've got like hundreds. And of course, you just let them expire. So typical, do you log on with a cloud identity? This is perfect for a small business. Great. Okay, no service to manage. The only disadvantage, of course, is you don't get a single sign-on. All right? Authentication occurs via Microsoft, and again, the password policy, in this wave of Office 365, you've got a little bit of control, but typically you don't have control. Come and have a seat, sir. Just leave your bags there. No problem. It doesn't require any servers on-prem, and again, the login looks something like that, so perfect. So the more complex business, of course, might want to use single sign-on. So I want to use single sign-on, SSO, and what are the methods for doing that? So authentication does not occur at Microsoft here. Authentication occurs on-premises. Password policies. You maintain the password policies. You say how many characters for a password. You determine this, not Microsoft. Okay, it does require Active Directory Federation services, and it does require DRSing. Now, Andy, is that the only way of doing it? No, because in the new version of Office 365, the new version of DRSing that's just been released, you've also now got password synchronization. So you can actually, for a small business, it's quite clever, you can set up DRSing with password synchronization. And what it does, it hashes the hashes of passwords, okay? Now, you don't need ADFS. You don't need anything else. You just need that tool. But the problem is, of course, DRSync is still classed as an appliance. It's only really, I would say, perfect for a small business. And remember, if DirSync falls over, you lose that capability because it won't sync passwords. Password syncing, by the way, is one way. Okay? Andy, is it as secure as ADFS? No, of course not. Okay, I think personally as a security guy, Microsoft won't want me saying this, but potentially, of course, you're still potentially at the mercy of that kind of pass the hash type attack. But again, for a small business, it might be a solution for you. Okay, and again, this then provides that single sign-on solution. Okay, so this is kind of what we're talking about. So individuals and businesses, no integration. Okay, so the disadvantage is, of course, is they need to log in twice. They need to log in to their local network, and they need to log in using their online credentials with Microsoft as well. Whereas a medium-sized business might use the DirSync tool for provisioning. They may not want single sign-on, whereas the large businesses, you definitely do want that solution. So this is basically how it works. So this is life in the cloud. So no integration. Okay, great. Now, when I talk about DirSync, I'm talking about provisioning accounts. So you can provision accounts in Office 365. I can go in and I can manually create an account. I can use PowerShell to create a little script to bring my accounts across. I can use DirSync, and DirSync is just an appliance. You just install it. It's not rocket science. It just install and it connects and it gets. It connects, it gets. That's basically all it does in its most simple form. Okay? Initially when you deploy it as it's a one-way sync, essentially. Well, if you go into hybrid, it's a little bit more complex. So if you missed my hybrid session yesterday, you can go back and watch that. So the third option is, and you can see essentially what's happening here, is with the third option is you need to, might close this down. Something's come up on my screen. That's better. The third option is basically, that's the DirSync. So you just connect and get. So the third option is Active Directory Federation Services, ADFS. And ADFS basically is a secure token service. It's a man in the middle, essentially, okay? And essentially what it does is using digital certificates at both ends, it creates an agreement, a gentleman's agreement with both parties. Now, ADFS, of course, can be used for business to business, and it can also be used for business to the cloud, and this is obviously where you're going to use it now. In terms of training, actually, for ADFS, there is a very good Microsoft course on Active Directory Federation Services too, okay? I would strongly recommend it. So you can see here that there's a trust kind of relationship here, and that is secured at either end with a digital certificate. So obviously you have internal certificates and you also have an external certificate that we'll talk about later on. Good morning. So you can see that you now have this DirSync appliance and you also have Active Directory Federation Services. So basically now what happens is when that user logs on, he basically gets access using single sign-on. So these are the different scenarios. When you would just use cloud identity, when you would use a cloud identity and DirSync, and when you would use a federated identity. Okay, Andy, I've only got a small company. Maybe it's a lawyer's. Maybe it's a financial institution. I want to have single sign-on. Do I have to have the big, do I need to have this huge infrastructure? Of course not. You can use this technology. I often, there's different versions of Office 365. So you've got the K plans, which is just the kiosk. You've got the P plans for kind of small business, and then you've got the E plans, the E3 plans predominantly. So the E3 plan is probably, if you're looking at any kind of Active Directory, Federation, E3 plan is definitely the way to go. E4, by the way, comes out this month. Okay. So basically, it shows you here Now, Andy, what happens if I am just a small business? Does that mean, are you trying to tell me that every time I log in or every time I open an application, I'm going to have to log into the cloud? Yes. Basically, that's what's happening. But that's a pain in the backside. You guys don't want to do that. So basically what happens, you install the desktop client, the Office 365 desktop client, onto the local machine. And essentially what it does is when you log into the cloud for the first time, it caches that information. So it caches it locally for 30 days. And basically every time you open up Word and Excel, it's authenticating, but it doesn't pop up. It doesn't keep getting annoying. And essentially that's one of the functions of that particular tool. Whereas you can see that once you start going to single sign-on, there is no prompt because you're authenticating the user. So make these solutions workable. So when we talk about planning, it needs to, you know, there's no one solution. There's no golden ticket here with Office 365. And anybody who says there is a liar. Every solution is a custom solution for 365. But you need to make it cost effective. You know, don't go crazy in your designs here. You know, keep it simple, stupid. Yeah? Avoid the ego-driven design, because that can be very, very expensive. Also take into account future growth. So don't go and recommend a small business plan when you know that they're likely going to expand, because moving from plan to plan can be very difficult, if not impossible, okay? Because they're on different platforms. Also think about local, national, international legal compliance issues, and also cross-platform integration. So we're in the European Union here. So basically, any data that you create, if you go in and create an Office 365 account today, it's created in the Dublin data center. That's where it's created. It is then replicated to Amsterdam. Okay. Now, if you're in Eastern Europe, it's different. But Western Europe, that's basically where it essentially goes. So for legal Blue Harbor compliance, this is where it's actually formed. Now, when you create a domain, so one of the things that you're going to do is when you sign up to Office 365, you need to create a domain name. Now, you've got to be really, really careful with this domain name, because essentially you're not creating an Active Directory domain. Essentially, the domain name is a Windows Azure Active Directory client, we'll call it. Windows Azure is nothing more than ADAM, Active Directory Application Mode, Lightweight Directory Services. You know that? Yeah? And it's that and it's a customized version of that alongside things like SQL Server. So every user in Office 365 is an Active Directory or Windows Azure Active Directory client. So when you create your domain, you basically can create two types of domain. Is it a managed domain? So in other words, you're managing the domain, you register the domain name, you're off you go. Or is it a federated domain? So a federated domain is when you're using your own federated domain. So a managed domain might be mycompany.onmicrosoft.com, yes? Whereas a federated domain will be mycompany.com, all right? Domain ownership must be verified. So if you're going to use your own domain, you need to do a little PowerShell script. Now, I've got a whole bunch of demos, by the way, and I've screen cammed them. So if anybody's done any work with Office 365, you'll know that it is quite time consuming. And it's quite difficult to demo because, you know, there might be delays while the whole process populates. So I've kind of cammed my demos for you. Now, on top of those, I've also cammed a whole bunch of other demos, all the PowerShell demos, which I don't have time to show you, but I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to make them available to you. So you can add the new domains either in the online portal. So I can come into Office 365 here, I can go into, oops, sorry, let's go in here, into the online portal. I can go into domains. And again, I can then say, hey, I want to go in and I want to add in my domain here. Now, you can do it in a number of ways. Obviously, if you host your own DNS, perfect. You need to go in and do that. And you need to verify the domain and use PowerShell. And what it does, it gives you, it's an MS equals MS and a unique number. Okay? You need to paste that into your DNS. You create a text record for that. Okay? And that, basically what happens is, when you click verify my domain, Office 365 comes back to your DNS server and it says, MS equals MS, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I know who you are. You're verified. Okay? Perfect. So that is an example of a domain. And then obviously you can start looking at ADFS and the whole aspect of federating it. Just a word of warning here, by the way, notes from the field. Okay, if you've registered a domain for a customer, one of the things you have to watch out for is, you know, this uses certificates. It uses digital certificates. So if the customer just has a straight domain name, mycompany.com, and you're absolutely sure that that is all that's going to go into the cloud, and you've said, is this a short-term move, or are you going to be here for quite some time? And if they say to you, I'm going to be here for quite some time, that's fine. That single domain name's fine. And that certificate's fine. But if they're a company with a number of divisions or different locations, if there's a possibility that they're going to use subdomains, you want to make sure that you get a wildcard certificate. That's really important, by the way. Okay? Also, a wildcard certificate is really good because if you register a subdomain, so, you know, asia.mycompany.com, and if you decide not to use that anymore, that's fine. You can get rid of that. And you can use as many subdomains as you want. But the problem is, if you use a customer's main domain, what will happen is it will basically provision itself in Azure Active Directory. And unless you remove it, if you don't, you know, at the end of their trial, if you don't remove it, what it does, it stays there and it becomes stale. Now, officially, according to Mark Rusinovich, and I had a conversation with him yesterday, you know, there's the 90-day limit in Office 365. So 90 days, if you don't pay your subscription after 90 days, boom, it's gone. Everything's gone. So officially, that domain name is removed. But I've actually seen it where I've gone back a year later, tried to re-register that domain name for that customer, and you cannot get it back. So I would strongly recommend, if the customer walks away, fine, that's okay. Just remember to remove that domain from Office 365, because then if they change their mind, they can come back later on and work with it. Okay. Okay, so options for adding new domains, you can use the portal or you can use PowerShell, of course, as well. The online services PowerShell. Okay, so basically that's the three locations. So we can provision our users using the web portal, PowerShell, DirSync. So when we talk about the differences between WAD and WAD, as John Craddock calls it, you know Windows Active Directory. It's been around for a very long time. It's LDAP-based. It assigns and enforces security policies. It provides identities for your users. It uses an X500 directory format. It's been around for a while. You can deploy it in a single domain, and in fact, the difference between WAD and WAD is that you can only install one instance of Active Directory per domain, whereas WAD, because it's not true Active Directory, but every instance. You can have multiple instances there. Okay? So it does have limitations. So it has limitations now. Active Directory has limitations in the cloud. We're finding that I think I've got more notes here. Yes, so it's got a number of trust limitations, complexity limitations, size limitations as well. The protocol is limited to LDAP. So if you've got customers that have got third-party web applications, sometimes LDAP has problems with this. And also, you might find a case where the customer just quite blatantly and quite rightly says, hey, I don't want my Active Directory in the cloud, and that's fine. So basically, you draw the line, and you say, hey, that's okay. I don't want to put Active Directory in the cloud. That's fine. So it doesn't natively support cloud technologies. That's the key point here. Okay. So what's the solution? The solution is to somehow extend our Active Directory into the cloud. And I talk about this hook that I mentioned. So you need to hook into the cloud. And one of the hooks that we use is the UPN, so the UPN value, a user principal name, an email address type address. So this is one of the hooks that you can create. So every user account in Active Directory must have a valid UPN name and a verified UPN name, okay? So Windows Azure Active Directory, and you can go in, you don't even need to have Office 365 here, by the way. So when I talk about Azure Active Directory and Office 365, they are exactly the same and interchangeable. There's going to be other services that are going to come along that are going to use this technology. You don't need to go on the training twice because it's the same thing. Okay? So customized version of lightweight directory services or ADAM, every Office 365 customer is an Azure AD tenant. Basically, it's designed primarily for cloud applications. It's that hook into the cloud, as I've said. Also, the service is an essential part of Office 365 or software as a service. So basically, it's basically managed as one. So when you talk about federation, you basically manage the whole thing. You manage the users. You manage the credentials, not Microsoft. So this is one of the definite benefits of going single sign-on into the cloud, because you still have control of Active Directory, not Microsoft. Okay? Andy, does that mean that I'm restricted to what attributes I send to Azure Active Directory? No, you can control Active Directory. So in the early days of Office 365, I often got asked, Andy, if I'm using DuraSync and ADFS, is there a way to filter users? So initially, no. In the early months and years, I would probably say no. It was a one for all and an all for one. But now, you can filter users. So if you've got a very large deployment and you only want to, for example, provision certain OUs or groups or locations, you can use that now using FIM, the cut-down version of Forefront Identity Manager. I would urge you, though, it's not for the faint-hearted, okay? So be careful with that. In fact, there are a number of third-party solutions that are starting to emerge, which are actually pretty good, and I'll provide a list of those for you. I don't have time to go through all of those. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a drink. Friday morning, dry throat after the night before. Okay, so essentially then, separate username and password, perfect. So again, and it's a way of getting these two kind of entities to talk together. So when we talk about the design principles, obviously it uses the design, the web, and these applications use different protocols. So REST, for example, you've also got to think about multi-tenancy. So lightweight directory services, as I've said, uses this multi-tenancy model. So remember, keep it simple. So the question is to you, do you federate or do you not federate? Okay. Again, federation should not be taken lightly. So you've got to ask the customer, do you really need to federate? Okay? Because there may be ways around it, especially now with the new password syncing feature. Okay? By the way, I love that, you know. Sorry, if there's Germans in the audience, I love you, I really. But what are you syncing about? Get it? Syncing? No, never mind. Okay. Did you ever see that Coast Guard? You know the Coast Guard? It's an old story, never mind. Okay, so to federate or not to federate. So these are the different protocols that Azure supports. So you'll see that LDAP's not listed here, okay? So you've got the Web Server Federation Protocol, you've got HTML, or SAML rather I should say, and SAML is the protocol of ADFS that we're talking about today. So SAML is the Secure Accounts Markup Language. The OpenID Connect, so if you're using third-party vendors like Google, like, you know, I'm an MVP, I'm not Microsoft, so I can tell you exactly what I do. I actually teach Google as well. I do the Google stuff as well. So I can actually weigh up the benefits, the pros and cons of both. People say which is better. They're different. They're different platforms. In some cases, Google's cheaper. In some cases, Microsoft's better. You know, so you got to weigh. It's really what the customer needs. So when you go to customer site, you have to choose the best product for that. So, you know, you might want to sell them a Windows phone device. Yeah, you're trying to hammer this Windows phone device to them. But if it doesn't do what the customer needs it to do, then don't keep trying to sell them something. And another thing as well is, you know, that's an important point. When you're selling a cloud solution, it might not be right for that customer. And you could bang your head against the wall all day. But if it's not right and it doesn't work, step back and say, okay, I think you're going to need some kind of on-premises solution. So a cloud solution is just another tool in your tool belt, okay? OAuth 2, again. So a lot of these protocols are now being used by third-party companies. We're actually finding now, one of the cool things about this version of 365 is you can export data out and in. So if the customer wants to leave Office 365, you can export the data out now. That's fantastic. You can import data from Google and Amazon. So it's really, really flexible. So when we talk about deploying ADFS, what are the requirements? Well, of course, your directory needs to be Windows Server 2003 Forest Functional Mode, basic. You need a Windows Server or 2008 R2 box, minimum. And of course, 2012. Now, 2012 and 2012 R2 comes with ADFS 2.1. So what's the difference? You just don't need to download it. It's already included. It's the same product, okay? IIS, although in the new version of 2012 R2, you don't necessarily need IIS now. However, you still do need the certificate kind of checks, okay? So you don't need to install IIS on the machine, but it needs to be aware that IIS is on the network, okay? You need .NET 3.51, Identity Foundation, and of course you need that registered domain name and that all-important digital certificate. Now, if it's going to go to pot, the two things that go wrong in Office 365 and Azure are your certificates and you've mistyped something in PowerShell. That's what goes wrong. There is no other reason, okay? So ADFS server, when you deploy ADFS, you have the choice of installing it as a standalone server, or you can install it as what we call a proxy. Now, it's considered best practices not to install or to expose an ADFS server to the public side of your network. It's considered kind of best practice. So instead, you would install it as a proxy. Now, to be honest, that is basically just a software solution. I personally would use a solution like UAG or even TMG, okay? Or even a Cisco box, okay? So Cisco's got the same features. As long as it's ADFS proxy compliant, that's all you need. When you install an ADFS server, by the way, in all the demos that I talk about, I just talk about installing a server. In reality, my friends, you would never just install one ADFS server because it's a single point of failure. And certainly if you've got large numbers of users, you would typically want them to have you want to kind of load balance it, yes? So you probably want to install at least two, okay? So it's considered good practice. So additional servers can be added at any point. You can just add an additional server through the GUI, and you can just join the farm, or you can use the command fsconfig.exe, and that is, of course, the command line tool to do it. So understanding SAML, so this is obviously secure accounts markup language. Essentially, Joe connects to Exchange, and Exchange says, I'm sorry, Joe, I don't know you. You need to be authenticated. And the authentication platform says, I don't have anything for you because you're running single sign-on. You need to talk to your local server. So the local domain checks his credentials. Are you authorized? Are you authenticated? And generates an outgoing SAML token. So it looks at all his settings and says, yeah, okay, here's an outgoing SAML token for you. He takes that SAML token to the authentication platform, and the authentication platform says, yeah, okay, we have that trust relationship, the certificates are in place, here's an acceptance token. So he then takes that acceptance token and then knocks on the door of Exchange, and Exchange says, yay, I know who you are. So in terms of actually installing it, I've got ADFS here, so I'm just going to go in, I've downloaded it, I'm going to go in and just install it. So I just accept the agreement, and I choose, do I want to install a proxy or a federation server? So I'm going to go with the federation server. I'm going to say, okay, just obviously it checks to make sure the prerequisites are there. If they're not, it actually installs them, by the way. So off it goes, and it installs those settings. Okay. So before I start the configuration, I need to make sure, of course, my certificates are in place. So I need to make sure the SSL is up and running, because if it's not, at this point, ADFS would fall over. So I'm going to go into IIS. I'm going to go in and my certificates. And, of course, I'm going to import or bring in or create, in this case, a local certificate just for my local domain here. So this is my kind of registered domain name, so I'll just give it an organization. You can put it in an organization, unit, city, location. So you just basically fill in those fields to what you want. I'm going to click on Next. And now I can then say, okay, what's the certificate authority? So I've got certificate services on my Active Directory. So I'm just going to go in there, and I'm going to give it a friendly name. Okay, and that's basically pretty much all I need. So I'm going to go ahead and click on Finish. And now that my certificate is created in certificate services, that's it done. And you can see I've just called it STS. So this is my secure token service certificate for Federation services. So I'm going to go back to my bindings, my SSL bindings. And I'm going to create a 443 binding. And I'm going to bind my digital certificate to port 443. Now, of course, I didn't need to show this in the demo, but I think it's always nice to see how it's actually provisioned, because some of you may not know this. Okay, so there's my external STS certificate. So I click OK. And now I can actually go ahead and start configuring Active Directory Federation services. So I'm just going to go in here, up to Programs, and Active Directory Federation Services, and I'm going to run the wizard. So in the wizard, it says, do you want to create a new standalone server, or do you want to add the server to a farm? You would always just choose the farm option, by the way. So I'm going to create a new Federation server. You can see now it's detected that certificate. So at that point, if you hadn't had that certificate, it would have fallen over here. So off it goes, installs all the components that are required. and perfect. And that is Federation Services installed. So the next thing, obviously, you can obviously decide on how the access control is going to use the client environment. So one of the things that you need to do is you need to create these rules. So you can create your sets of rules. So do you want only specific users, specific groups to go in? So this is basically where you create your rules here. So it's the rules that create the policies, and the policies generate these SAML tokens. So you can say, are you creating a pass-through rule, or a filtering rule, or an incoming claim? So obviously, if you're going out, you would create the outgoing rules. Microsoft create the incoming rules. You provide the name for the rule and what type of rule it's going to be. And essentially, in this example, there's five claim types, so users, groups, and so on. So this is the issuance authorization. So this is the rules for issuing an actual token. So again, you go into the content. You basically say, go into the trusts and edit the claim rules. And this is where you say, okay, I'm going to provide you with this new issuance authorization rule here. So you give it a friendly name, you select the claim type, so based on group membership or whatever rule you're going to do, give it a name, and that's pretty much it. So that is the way to do it in ADFS. Now, because of time, what I've done for you guys is I've given you a complete step-by-step with this. And I've also got a whole bunch of more stuff today. So even though you've got access to my SkyDrive today and you've downloaded it, I guarantee there'll be more there on Monday. Okay? So do go back on Monday for this. For those people that have come in at the last minute, you can get access to my SkyDrive by if you just go to my Twitter account, @AndyMalone, and my SkyDrive will be in there. Just to show you that there are a number of very good third-party companies that are giving solutions or alternate solutions as well. This is a tool called Ping Federate, and it's a very, very simple tool to use. Okay, so the next thing, that's ADFS. The next thing we're talking about is provisioning, so actually getting our users into Office 365. So, just come forward a little bit. My machine's decided to go slow. Hey, wonderful. Okay, so let's, just go back then. Let's try this again. Hey, there we go. Okay, so cloud provisioning. So Windows Azure Active Directory provisioning, you can either do it manually. So you can go in, you can create the user accounts manually. You can bulk import them using CSV files, which is great for small or medium-sized businesses. You can script it. You can script it with PowerShell, or third-party vendors can use, for example, a REST protocol. So if they're using a third-party application, you can take advantage of that. Or you can automate the process as well with a tool like DirSync, the directory synchronization tool. So basic provisioning, of course, again, is just, you know, pretty simple here. You go into users and groups, and in here I would go and create a new user account here. That's basic stuff. So the other thing that you can also do is I have actually created a, this is a CSV file here. So here are my friends from friends, Ross, Monica, Joey, and Chandler. And you can see I've gone ahead and pre-populated this CSV file here. So now what happens is when I go into Office 365, I can basically do a bulk add. Now, if you're not sure how to do the bulk add, by the way, it even provides you with these CSV file templates. So you can actually download a blank one and also a sample one here. So they're really, really easy to use. So I'm just going to kind of browse down here. Here's my bulk. And you can see it's just basic CSV. I'm going to open that up, and I'm going to go next, and next. I'm going to say select a location. I'm going to allow them to log on. So this is important that you're licensing them. So you need to license these users. and click on next. Yeah, and off it goes and creates. Okay, so you can now see that I have now successfully created a whole bunch of user accounts here, and they're active and they're live now. So that's in its most simple way, that's provisioning. But the problem is, if you've got large numbers of users, this can be quite tricky. So you probably want to think about some kind of automation mechanism here. So going back to here, let's talk about bulk provisioning then. So DirSync is the directory synchronization tool. It's now in its kind of third or fourth wave of the product. So initially it was in a 32-bit format only, and that's now 64-bit. Incidentally, if you still have that 32-bit version of DirSync, you need to remove it by the 1st of October because it will no longer function. So it provisions objects into Windows Azure Active Directory. So we're talking about user accounts, groups, contacts. So not just user accounts, but all kinds of stuff. It provides a unified global address list in Exchange. And also, it enables coexistence. So when you install DirSync, you can actually install it as a just as a very, very kind of simple tool, or you can install it with rich coexistence. And if you want hybrid mode, you need to install an Exchange 2010 SP3 client access server role, which you actually get the license for free, by the way. Okay. Okay. So it also enables mail routing between on-premises and in the cloud. In other words, the on-premises Exchange experience, it just looks like a single organization. So, options. You can do a one-way sync to the cloud. I go, I get. I go, I get. If you enable rich coexistence, you can have a two-way sync to the cloud. So basically, any changes that you make get pushed back. Now, the only thing is it's an irreversible action. So once you click that switch, yes, for two-way, you can't then go back to one-way, okay? So the cloud becomes the master for certain properties. So, for example, the safe senders lists and so on in Exchange. So the demo, so installing it, it's pretty simple, really. So you can see the first thing you need to do is enable it. So here I am in my users and groups. So I go into preparing for directory synchronization, and essentially you need to enable it. So step four, it's basically this step, federation is this 10-step process. So I would go ahead and now install DirSync. So when you actually install DirSync, it needs to verify the domain. So sometimes there is like this 24-hour wait. Now, they say 24 hours, but it's never 24. So this is the reason why I'm using a video demo here, because I don't want to wait 24 hours to show you this. So just go ahead. You can see really simple tool. That was the error that you get, by the way, if it's still waiting to be activated. So now I go ahead and put in my online service credentials. So this is my on Microsoft admin account. So put in my password, and I'm going to click next. And now I need to put in my local domain account. So I need to know about the local side of it. And I've got a domain called onprem.local here. So I just put in my local credentials. Okay, and that's the, if you want the rich coexistence, that's the option that you can have. That's the hybrid deployment rich coexistence option. Okay, so off it goes and installs. Now, initially, it will do a full directory sync. And once it's done it for the first time, it then goes ahead and starts syncing what we call deltas. So it does this kind of every 3 hours, okay, by default. Now, Andy, can I force that? Of course. you can use a PowerShell command, start-coexistence-sync command. So now that that's done an initial sync here, I'm going to go back into my user accounts, and you can now see that, in fact, all my accounts have now come through. So I'm now fully federated, and you can see synced with Active Directory is here. So this has shown me now that that is actually working fine. So password synchronization, this is a new feature of Office 365 DuraSync. So in using this feature, it's really designed for smaller businesses. So you no longer require ADFS anymore. So you can. This is another option. So perfect for small businesses. It provides single sign-on. Actually, it provides the illusion of single sign-on. It is single sign-on, I suppose. Essentially, what it does, it hashes the hashes of passwords. So there is no kind of complex kind of setup here. So you don't need to install any new software, and the user doesn't need to change any passwords. That's the beautiful thing about this. I'd like to note at the bottom, though, in my personal opinion, yeah, it works fine. It works perfect. But again, this is a new technology. You would need to try and test it. It is potentially vulnerable to something like a pass-the-hash attack. Okay, but again, this is something that you would need to take into account when you're planning it. But for a small business, it's fine, okay, who don't want the inconvenience. Okay, inconvenience security, you've kind of got to weigh that up. The other thing that I would say is I personally go with the ADFS solution because you've got SSL, you've got those certificates. Yeah, that is true single sign-on. There are a number of third-party options as well that you can do. So DuraSync occurs every 3 hours. You can change that DuraSync. I'll show you in a second, but that's the slide on how to do it. So you can change the schedule if you want to. Don't make it too short. You could have issues. Okay, so, and again, it creates a log file. So configuring some of the advanced settings, I'm going to go into the DuraSync folder here. I'm going to go and open this little tool, the MS Client. And this is actually Forefront Identity Manager. It's a cut-down version of it. And this here, you can actually see all the attributes being replicated. So this is all the everything that's being replicated using DuraSync. And yeah, I can go in here and you can actually click on a particular option here, and you can see it gives you some details. And it shows you when that option, when it last synced, the date, the timestamp, and so on, and in fact, what it actually was. So this could be quite useful just to check that everything's actually working. Now, I can also click on Management Agents here, and if I click onto Source ID, you can see I can go and actually go to the Actions and Properties area, and what we have here is I can actually configure what we call connection filters. And you can see here are all those fields: organizational groups, group memberships, and so on. Hey, I could filter out groups here. You know, if you're doing a migration, this could be quite useful. There is a very good TechNet white paper on this, but I strongly urge you use this tool with great caution, okay? It could be your undoing, okay? Be very, very careful, but it's a fabulous tool. Now, there is also a text file here, the online sync, the DuraSync scheduler. This is a text file. So I'm just going to open this up with Notepad, and this was what I was showing you in that slide earlier. And you can see there it is, the synchronization value there is basically set to 3 hours, and you can change that. So you can set it to, you know, 2 hours or whatever. Again, don't have it too short. It could be problems. But again, there is that PowerShell command where you can actually force a directory synchronization. Okay, so that's the kind of the cut down version of that. Now we're going to take a Q&A in a moment because we've still got a few minutes to go. So what have we talked about? Well, when we talk about identity, a couple of things that kind of come to mind. So first up, you've got to decide on the type of company. Remember, every organization is different. Every company is going to have a different solution. So you need to choose that correct Office 365 solution, bearing in mind that if you choose for something like a small business and they are planning to grow, it can be a nightmare to move them across, okay, because they're on different platforms. Now, whether that changes in due course, hopefully it will eventually. They'll make it easier to bring them across. You've got to determine as well between that product and service. As I mentioned, there are going to be times when you're banging your head on the wall saying, I want the customer to move, to Office 365. And whatever you do, it just won't work. Another thing about the product v service as well is when you start looking, I don't know if you've been to any of the Exchange sessions this week, but when you start looking at Exchange 2013, SharePoint 2013, you suddenly start realizing, oh my God, these are huge products. And Exchange 2013, you can't upgrade from 2010. So it's a whole brand new installation. It's a migration across. It's a different architecture. It's a different platform. So what does that tell you? It tells me that if you're a small and medium-sized customer, they want you to go to the cloud. This is basically where they're kind of positioning it. And if you're a huge, enormous customer, then this is for you. Okay? And very much that seems to way the business is moving. And also the way that software is moving as well. So the distribution of tools like Microsoft Office is very much changing. You don't download it and then deploy it. You download it, but it's a thin installation. It's app V-based. So you're basically streaming it to the user's machine. Remember, app V, though, you stream it to somebody's machine, and it essentially caches it locally. Now, that's beautiful in terms of performance, because in the first wave of 365, you had this huge glob of a 800 meg file that you needed to download and distribute. Okay? Now it's very, very thin. So the way that software is being deployed and used is really changing as well. Clean house, definitely. So if you're going to a customer, if they're moving to 365, get rid of all the garbage. So clean up the attributes in Active Directory, clean up those mailboxes before. You don't want to bring any crap across. Okay? SSO or not to SSO. Again, you know, it might not be perfect for every customer. A small business might say, I don't want all these servers with ADFS. And of course, you can virtualize those, by the way. But in that case, that password synchronization might be perfect for them. Again, just think about the security aspects of it, though. Okay? And also, read the planning guides. The planning guides are really good, by the way. I don't know if any of you are certified in Office 365, but there is an MCITP in it. A really good MCITP as well, actually. And it's now changing to the MCSA in the cloud thing. But there's a whole new wave of exams coming out for it, so the new wave, okay? So you definitely want to kind of have a look at that as well. Region versus compliance, really important. Again, make sure you've set it in the correct region, because that will determine where your data is actually stored. Also, get your DNS correct. DNS and certificates are really important. Never, ever let digital certificates expire. So when you buy your digital certificate from GoDaddy or whoever you get it from, never buy a one-year certificate. Because if you let a certificate expire, it's an absolute nightmare. Get a 3 or a 5 year certificate. And actually, take a note of when that certificate's due to expire. That's bit me one or two times as well. Other reasons why it doesn't work, you've mistyped something in PowerShell, you've registered the wrong domain name, your clocks are out of sync. So if you've got Active Directory you're trying to sync into the cloud, the clocks are out of sync. That is a real issue as well. So make sure that your time syncing is correct. Also, beware of deleted domain issue, as I mentioned that earlier. So watch out for that kind of deleted domain issue. It really does kind of cause issues. So just a quick review just before we go into questions. We've talked about planning, deployment. I've tried to take it from different levels, so from the small business to the very large, because I appreciate that we all come from different sizes of companies. Does anybody have any questions, by the way? Yes, please.
Is this a point solution? Because now we're going to the cloud. We also have other SaaS platforms and stuff. Can we use this federation also to connect to other suppliers?
Okay, so the question was, can we use this federation solution to connect to other suppliers through Microsoft? Absolutely. ADFS is agnostic. It's independent. You can use it anywhere. So SAML is basically an open source technology. That's not a Microsoft technology. So there are other vendors that do their own versions of ADFS. But there's other protocols as well. So things like OAuth APIs and things like that. So there's different ways that the platforms are actually connecting to. You might find that you've got a customer that's got Google Docs and Mail in Exchange. And I saw that the other day. I have a customer with that solution. So they wanted to use Google Docs, but they wanted to use, they've signed up to Office 365, but just the Exchange bit, because it's cheap. Yes? And it's Exchange is really good email. And it works fine. So they had a developer come in. He's using OAuth, and he's basically created a little API, and they talk to each other perfectly. So this is all kind of standard-based stuff, you know? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Anybody else?
How do you position ADFS versus, for example, Bing Federation?
ADFS.
Versus Bing Federation, what we
should do is how do I base it? I've seen, I've not done much with it. It does very, very similar. In fact, it's exactly the same, but it's prettier. Yes?
The difference is that ADFS is for free, while Bing is costing a lot of
money. Exactly, but it's prettier. That's my point. It's prettier. And it's slight, and basically as well, that other product has got, the links in for the other vendors as well. So it's kind of pre-populated. But there's a number of really good web services actually that are starting to offer ADFS in the web as well. So have a look out for them. Again, I'll make all of these notes available to you, and I'll stick it up on my SkyDrive for you. All right. Hey, well, yes, sir, please, yes, go.
Active Directory recycling was not supported with DirSync.
Yes.
Anything changed?
Absolutely. The question was, in Active Directory recycle bin was not supported with DirSync. That was the 32-bit. That's why you're now on the 64-bit, and it fully supports it. Okay? So, yes, that's the reason why you have to go. And also, the minimum requirement is now no longer 2003 server. It's now 2008 64-bit. Okay? Remember the thing about DirSync I forgot to mention is that you can only install DirSync on a standalone but member server of the domain. You cannot install it on a domain controller. Okay? But it must be a member server in the domain. All right? Hopefully that answers your question. Anybody else?
Yeah, one more.
Yes, please.
What's the difference between Windows internal database on ADFS server versus SQL Server?
Okay, the question was, what is the difference between Windows internal database, and a SQL Server? Okay, so the old version of DirSync basically installed it on the Windows internal database. Now it installs it on a version of SQL Server Express. Now, that basically has a limit. It's got a kind of a limit to, I think is it 20,000 objects? It's something like, the database size is 10 gig. Is it 10 meg or 10 gig? Gig, yes, gig. 10 gig, thank you. It wouldn't be 10 meg, would it? Yeah, so 10 gig, it's too early in the morning. So it's got a size limit of 10 gig. And obviously for a very large company, that's no good. So you would then need to move to a full-blown SQL Server for ADFS. So the full-blown SQL Server, by the way, is only configurable through PowerShell and the PowerShell commands. If you want a guide, I'll put one in my SkyDrive for you. All right? Well, hey, I was really surprised that all of you guys turned up so early in the morning. I really, really do appreciate it. And that's my last session at TechEd. So thank you very much. Please, please, please feedback on my sessions. It's amazing. I had 618 people, or 683 yesterday in a session, and only 40 have fed back. So, you know, if I'm giving you love, please, please feedback, okay? I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, okay? Okay, thank you.